The topic of this meeting is family and recovery, and our first speaker is Diane.
Oh.
All right, so I can talk loud enough. Y'all can hear me? Because I got a big mouth. I'm Diana, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Diane.
So I'm really nervous, right? Because I've done meetings, but never like a convention, and it's an honor, right? So, you know, just a little background, my whole family, I don't know anyone that's not an addict, either in recovery or in active addiction or dead as a result. It's been a lot of that. Anyway, so when I was younger, I had an aunt and an uncle that were in another fellowship. And they kind of planted the seed. Like, I remember Christmas going to my grandmother's house and my uncle saying, you know, he had to go. And I'm like, where are you going? He said, I got to go to a meeting. And I was like, what? It's Christmas. And he said, well, so the way he explained it to me was, you know, cancer patients have to get radiation, chemotherapy, you know, that's their treatment. Diabetics have to take insulin, that's their treatment. And my treatment is a meeting, right? So anyway, that was what was planted in me as a kid. Of course, as I got older, we were really a close family, but I just wasn't willing to do anything different. But I would come in and out. And I always, you know, I saw my nephew as well and his wife as well. You know, I'd see them clean, but the disease is cunning and baffling and insidious. So even if you say you want to be clean, that's one thing, but you have to be a willing participant. Right? And I always used to say, I'm willing. And I really wasn't, you know, because I always ended up using. So what had happened was, you know, my nephew got here and his wife was here before him. And then he got here. The last time, right? So we, like I said, we always. So, you know, he came to my house and I was in active addiction and I'll never forget it. And he came over and he was like, I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm just getting ready to go to the 1 o'clock meeting. You know, you want to go? And well, of course, I didn't want to go because I was doing my thing. And I was like, no, not yet. I'm not ready yet. I'm just not ready yet. But you know, when I was ready, the seed was planted, as I said, and I knew where to come. And so in 2018, I had finally been beat up enough, and I just prayed, and I said, God, I don't care what happens, whether I die, but just don't leave me stuck here where I am, right? So I got clean. I went to jail, and when I got locked up, like, I was ready. I was willing, and you know, as I said, we have family members that it's really hard when you have family members, well, people in general, that you really care about and love and you watch them. You know, and I used to think all the time, it's not affecting nobody else. It's me I'm doing it to. It's not them. But this disease, it affects your whole family. And, you know, people in the rooms, they care about you. So now, on the flip side, me being clean, like, what do they say? When the student's ready, the teacher will appear. I'm telling you, that's a real thing, because I was ready and willing when I got here. And like, I was willing to do anything. It didn't matter. I went to a halfway house, you know, at 54 years old, right? And I thought, they can't teach me nothing. Listen, what I learned here is I learned how to be a lady. I learned how to be a mom. I learned how to be a friend, like all the things that I thought I knew how to do, and I didn't, you know, until I got here. So today I'm a mom, and I have kids that are addicts. God bless my mother. My dad died from this disease. But like my kids, man, I can show up for them today. My aunt, that just she was 42 years clean, so she died two nights ago. But you know, it's like every Wednesday they brought a meeting in her house. You know what I mean? And she died clean. That's the man. Like I think about my dad dying, and I just say all the time, man, he just couldn't get it. You know, he just wouldn't give himself a chance, right? I don't want my kids to look at me like, I don't want anybody to look at me like that. I want to, if I were to die today, I know I died clean, right? And that's, it's just a blessing. It's a good feeling. I don't know, man. I just love the program, and I live and breathe it today, right? So my kids, as I said, I got clean. And I have a daughter, my third child, and she was adopted, okay? She was adopted by my brother, and I used to always lie and say he tricked me into it, and the real story is he didn't trick me into it. He said, I'll give you this, I needed money. He gave me $50, and I signed the adoption papers. That's how powerful this disease is, right? So she didn't get to see me forever, like 13, 14 years. They just wouldn't let it happen. So when I got clean, it's crazy. She got locked up a half hour before me. And we stayed in jail for 3 months together. And that's where the healing started. And like, I'm her mom today. Like, she comes to me for advice. And you know, she's a mom. And she tells me all the time, if it wasn't for you, Mom, I wouldn't be where I'm at. You know, it's just attraction rather than promotion. Because I didn't jam it down. I won't jam it down their throat. Because, listen, somebody's not ready. They're just not ready. They know where to come when they're ready. You know, because that's what happened all my life. Like, everybody would say, you got to get clean. You got to get clean. So I would do it for all the wrong reasons. I wasn't ready. And what happened? I used. I was ready this time. And that, and as I said, I won't jam it down their throat. My son is in active addiction. And it's hard. It's hard. But I tell him, when you're ready, I'm here. You know, and all I can do is just be a mom and be there for him when he's ready. I don't know, man. It's just been a heck of a ride, this journey. But I'm grateful. I'm grateful because everything that I went through made me who I am today. And I can't believe. You know, sometimes I hear myself and I'm like, is that really you saying those things? But it's just what happens around here. How much time do I have? Because it's like families in recovery. It's not, I mean, there is a lot I could share, but are you serious? Oh my God. Jeez. 7 more minutes? Okay, let's see. I don't even know what else to say. I just know that this program works. You know, as I said, you have to be willing. And again, my kids being, you know, I have another daughter that's an addict, and you know, she doesn't do NA or AA, but she does go to church and she believes. And look, if you got a relationship with him, your higher power, you know, sometimes what works for one person doesn't work for another. You know what I mean? And I learned that because I was I was married, and I married somebody who was 13 years clean at the time. I was a whole hot year clean. No, 90 days when we start dating. And so he 13 stepped me. No, I'm just kidding. But but what I found out was, you know, I thought if I did what he did, I'd be fine. Right? And that's not the case. You know, I tried to. But you know, the disease is powerful. And the disease told me, you know, when things started going south, like, you know, the disease would talk to me and tell me, you know, all you got to do to get out of this is juice. He'll kick you out. You know, and that's exactly what happened. And so when I got clean again, when I had a year, we got back together. I mean, we got divorced and everything, and we got back together. So I kind of was holding on to hope. I wanted it to work. I really did. And I stayed for 3 years. The last 2 years was miserable. And what I saw was my relapse happening all over again in my head. But this time, I had the tools that I needed. And I could stand up for myself. And I just, on my birthday, I called him and I just said, after my meeting, and I said, I'm not coming home. He, you know, of course he acted shocked. And he said, what's going on? And I said, well, I told you for 2 years I haven't been happy. I've been telling you this. But so he just didn't listen, you know. So it was probably the best decision I ever made for my recovery, really. He doesn't like me too much today, but you know what? It's okay. You know, I mean, I'm not willing to stay in something toxic and use, because that's what happens, you know. One of us isn't going to make it out clean, and it's usually always me. And this is another thing that I used to think. If I could just stop using, I would be okay, right? And what I learned is I'm the problem. Like, I have to work on me from the inside out, you know. And I thought, nah, if I just go to meetings and hang around people, I'll be okay. I worked step 1, 2, and 3 just real quick and easy, like yes, no, maybe answers, and it's crazy. This time, I'm putting the work in, and you know, and it shows. I don't know, man. Am I done yet? Okay, so I'm Diana, and I'm an addict. Thanks.
We've asked Victor.
My name is Victor, I'm an addict. Oh, man. I mean, for somebody that was so nervous, I mean, she absolutely killed it. You know, family and recovery, and looking at her and growing up with her, you know, and my father being the one that adopted her daughter, you know, so I was raised around that. And this is one of the people that I swore I would never be like, would never get clean, would never, you know, like, we all have, look, it's 2023. By this time in recovery or in life, everybody can share on family in recovery or family in the disease of addiction. Like, at least using, clean, whatever the case may be, you know. And, I mean, I've been around it my whole life. Like, my family has been in recovery or using my entire life. And my famous words were, I'll never be like them. I'll never, junkie was my favorite word. You were beneath me. You were addicts and junkies, and you used heroin. And I was like, I'll never be like that. And I watched them use for all my life and get clean and use and get clean. And I would always say, like, why can't they just stop? Like, I don't understand, you know? And, like, both of my parents are addicts. Both of my parents were in recovery. I remember being young, 5, 6 years old, playing basketball at the Hammond's Lane meetings over there in Brooklyn Park while my dad was inside in the church at an NA meeting, right? And I remember this from a young age. And they would go to the meeting. They would come outside, and all of them would play basketball after the meeting. And we would all play. And I was 5 or 6 years old. And I grew up in Narcotics Anonymous, right? And I didn't understand what a meeting was. I didn't understand why you went there. I just knew that you used to be a terrible dad. Now you're a decent dad. And I was like, I'll never be like that, you know? And I blamed my disease of addiction on genetics for a long time. I was like, it's not my fault. I was born into this shit. Like, look around my family. Like, it was inevitable. I was going to be an addict is what it was going to be. And then I learned, like, reading through, and it says in the basic text, it literally says, we don't care how or what. Like, it doesn't matter how you got this disease. Like, what are you willing to do about it? And I was like, but what do you mean? It's their fault. Like, why is this basic text telling me that it's not their fault? It is their fault. You know, and because I ran with that for years. And it was the poor me, blame, at least I'm not that bad type of addict. You know, because growing up in the 90s, there was lifelong dope fiends. Like in the neighborhood, my dad owned a construction company, which, you know what happens when you own a construction company with 50 guys. Like, I was around it. I was in eighth grade sweeping floors while they're in the other room shooting dope. Like, I remember, like, doing jobs, and they would be like, I got to get well first. I'm in eighth grade, and I'm learning what all this stuff is. So I'm like, okay, go get well. Like, like, I got school tomorrow, so can we get this, you know? And that's how it was, you know? So I knew everything about it, right? And I was like, that's what I don't want to be like. Fast forward, man, like the disease of addiction was in me. It was in me long before I picked up the drugs. My grandparents raised me because of active addiction, because of the drugs, right? And they did the best they could for me, right? And they loved me. But you still have that hole inside of you because there's no love like your parents love, and you want to know why your parents love the drugs more than they love you. You know, and I couldn't understand that. So I was like, my grandparents would literally buy me everything I wanted, trying to fix me. You know, I was in private schools. I mean, they bought me a BMW when I was like 17 years old. Like, they literally bought me everything I could ever imagine. And it was like, I still felt less than. I still felt not good enough because my parents, obviously, if your parents don't love you enough to stay, the material things aren't going to neither. You know, and I learned that before I even picked the drugs up. I learned that, like, the material things that my grandparents were giving me weren't helping, you know. And so at, like, 19 years old, I was already strung out on Oxycontins. I was in rehab at 19, and I was like, I don't have a problem. I just got hooked up with the wrong crowd. Like, I was just sniffing pills, you know, by myself, but I was hanging out with the wrong people. And when I went to rehab, I actually learned how to shoot heroin in rehab. That's where I learned that oxys were too expensive and heroin was way cheaper, you know? And, finally getting clean. And I remember going to that 1 o'clock and I was like so fired up for recovery. I was going to 3 meetings a day. I mean, I was facing 66 years in prison, so I didn't have a job. Like, I was just chasing recovery. And I remember, so I got clean in jail too. It's like a family thing. We all get clean in jail, right? Family and recovery, we all start in Baltimore City Detention Center. And I remember, like, I got locked up first, right? And I had maybe, 3 years clean when my aunt Diane got clean. And she was getting out of jail. And I remember her calling me, and she was like, I don't know where I'm going to go. And I was like, well, I mean, by this point, I had like a bunch of connections in Narcotics Anonymous. And I'm like, there's a recovery house in Pasadena, and I think that's where you should go, right? And I made a phone call. You know, and before I know it, I literally, because I live on the other side of town, and I knew she was doing the recovery thing, but I just set her up. I didn't hold her hand. I didn't walk her into the meetings. I didn't even go to the meetings with her. I literally gave her a phone number, and she ran with it. And I literally woke up one morning, and I was like, and she's like working at the place at this point. Like a year later, she's like head of the house or some shit. I was like, the footwork that we put in when we get here, man, like she talked about, it's all in, you know, the willingness, because the resources have always been there for my whole family. But we were never willing enough to do it. So I still have two parents that are still in active addiction. And it's crazy, because when they say the apple doesn't fall far from the tree and we're just like our parents, I see my dad just like my grandfather, literally almost to a T, except for it's a little different of the drugs, but back problems, drugs, you know, like, and I'm watching him, and the older he gets, the more he reminds me of my grandfather, right? And he's always calling me every day, you know, and I don't care how many four steps you work, but resentments take a lot more time than writing some shit down on paper. So if you haven't worked the four step and you think that's going to help and change you, it's going to take a lot more than writing a four step to work through resentments. For me, it did anyway. And, you know, every time I think I'm in a good place with my parents, boom, something else happens, and I'm right back where I started. And I'm like, God damn it. Like, I've been trying so hard to get into a better place with you, and then you go and do something like that. And then I realize that I'm not that powerful, that I'm not going to be able to change them as a person, but the attraction rather than promotion always pops in my head. As long as I keep doing what I'm doing, you know, and you can be an attraction for, like, my own aunt. You know, like, I was an attraction for her at 43. I'm just playing. Oh, my God. Whew. Can we have five of us up here sharing this? We could have split it up into, like, 4.5 minutes each. So, yeah, man, like, so I pray for my parents. Like, I pray for my mom. I pray for my dad. They use excuses after excuses. Actually, my mom is actually doing very well right now. And we're in a better place. But that could change by tomorrow morning, you know, because you just never know what's going to happen. And that's with any addict. And I remember coming into Narcotics Anonymous, and I want to say this real quick because this was important to me. It was easy for me and for a lot of guys, like, in a recovery house to tell each other they loved you. Like, I love you, bro. Like, I love a lot of people in Narcotics Anonymous, but I couldn't tell my own family that I loved them. How weird is that? Like, how I thought, I was like, that's a sickness in itself. I didn't understand that, like, the resentment kept me from loving them. And I wasn't loving myself. And, like, we can come around here and tell total strangers that we love them, but we can't tell our own family that we love them. And that was, like, something I had to take a look at, you know, because it's a tough place to be in when you feel that resentful towards people in your own family, your own blood, you know. And I said for a long time, oh, you know, blood makes you related. Loyalty makes you family. But that's kind of like a cop-out too, you know, because regardless of what they do, my mom and my dad, they're still my mom and my dad. You know, regardless of what my family does, if I did the same things they're doing. You know, I lied, cheat, steal, stole. You know, and it didn't matter. If I would have had kids in active addiction, thank God that my kids have never seen me use. I have three of them. They've never seen me use. But I already know the lengths I went to I would have jumped over all three of them to get to a pulled dope. There's no doubt in my mind. I mean, I literally, at the end, I mean, I had literally not one vein left in my body. My hands were blown up like basketballs. I couldn't get on. And I would have literally cut a left toe off if you would have just hit me once. Like, that's how bad my disease got. You know, and I already know that, like, if it wasn't for recovery, my kids wouldn't matter either. You know, I would have did anything to get one more. Literally anything. And that's why I continue to show up in Narcotics Anonymous. Do I think I could, like, stop coming here and not use? Maybe. Would my quality of life change? Absolutely. And am I willing to risk them three little babies that literally love me unconditionally, all that because I'm lazy enough to forget where I came from? And I got resentments on that too. Oh, and a lot of people, never mind, I'm not even going to go there. This is family and recovery. Not even going to go there because that's just me being judgmental. So, I don't know, I got 2 minutes left. I just want to say that, like, it's such an honor to be on this stage. Like, we walk into the convention, and I'm looking at that board, and that's family and recovery. The board up there of the all the rest in peace, you know, and I remember, I'm like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And I'm looking at them, and the people are holding their babies, and they're dead, you know, and I'm thinking about, like, you were a Facebook post for about a week, and people moved on with their lives. And now the only time you get remembered is when you come to a convention and they flash your face on a screen. By us. I'm sure there's a lot of other people that are hurting way longer and way more. But that's not what I want my legacy to be. You know, I want my kids to remember that they had a dad and he died with an infinity medallion. I can't imagine them growing up in this world without me to, like, guide them and teach them, you know, the principles that I learned in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, like, whether they know what a meeting or Narcotics Anonymous is, they know that when we go there, it makes me a better person and a better father and a better, you know, family in recovery, you know. So that's it. Thank you for letting me share.
I'd like to introduce our third speaker, Lauren.
Lauren. First, I want to say thank you. When we were told to do this meeting, Victor told me it was a relationships meeting, right? And then he says, oh, wait, it's family and recovery. And I'm like, what is it? You know, I get all like, I need to know. I need to know my topic. I need to start pulling my books out, get my mind right, get centered, you know, all those things. But it really is a good topic, family and recovery. I mean, like you guys said, like, it is a true miracle that all three of us are standing up here clean and in this program working Narcotics Anonymous. I remember Aunt Diane using in and out of the rooms. Victor and I used together. I got clean. He did not. He came back in my life when I had 3 years clean. And, you know, so it's just, you know, I can't say enough about this program. And the topic can go so many different ways, you know. It can go, like, with Victor and I, us having children now and breaking the chains and showing our children the life that they live is because of Narcotics Anonymous. Like Victor said, if we choose to use our kids... The life that they live today, we're vacationing, they're riding four-wheelers, we're doing all these awesome things. Because you know how addicts are, we take a vacation probably every other week. That's probably our addiction right now is, where are we going, what are we doing, I work hard, I deserve this, right? So like, my kids are like, yeah, mom, can I bring the four-wheeler, well, can I get a dirt bike too? And I'm like, all right, chill out, you know, too much. But they live this amazing life. And I know, because like Victor said, we're dope fiends, you know what I mean? So like us using, and I know for a fact my children would not be the reason why I don't use. They motivate me to stay clean, but like he said, I would step over my children to get that pill of dope. I know it. The disease is so strong. And so to see him and I up here clean, working this program, still fired up for this program because I chased my recovery like I chased the drugs, because I have to. That disease is loud. And man, it's amazing. You know, it truly is a blessing, right? And I want to talk a little bit about my family, too. You know, I was talking to my sponsor before this, and growing up, the disease ran heavy in my family. But the house on the outside looked really good. My mom is a nurse. She's not an addict. My father died of this disease when I was 7 years old, and my mom was left to raise four children. They were together since they were 15 years old, and my mom stuck with him for many years. I think he was about 38 when he died. And he had clean time in the other recovery for 2 years, and my mom would go to meetings with him, and they would be in the van. My dad would have the tapes playing. He was really involved, and you know, the thing was, though, he didn't change his people, places, and things. And he was an iron worker down Dundalk. And, you know, us children didn't stop him. And he took his will back, and within 8 months, he was dead from this disease. You know, and I know my mom, I remember my mom saying when I first got clean that she could not lay her head down on the pillow, and I was putting her through all of this again as she went through with my father, and here her daughter is using, you know, and stealing and lying, and I'm going to get clean tomorrow, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I just couldn't stop, you know. So to put my mom through all of that again, it just hurt. And, I'll never forget her saying that when I first got clean, that like she was so grateful to lay her head on that pillow again. So with my father dying when I was 7 years old, leaving my mom with four children, her remarrying a functioning alcoholic, and then my cousin died of this disease as well. She committed suicide because she just couldn't get clean and she hated herself. And I knew those feelings that she was feeling, but unfortunately, with being all doped up, she killed herself. And then, like I said, with my stepdad just being a Jekyll and Hyde and a functioning alcoholic, and man, that's misery. You know, he would take his shirt off his back for all of us children, but God, man, it just was, you just never knew who he was going to be. And he grew up with an alcoholic father. So it's the chains. The chains have to be broken. And, you know, I have a brother-in-law who now has a couple months clean in the other fellowship, and one of four of us. Two of us are addicts, the other two are not addicts, and I have a sister out there who's using right now. And she says to me, Lauren, I can't stop. Nobody understands. And I said, you're talking to me. Candace, what are you talking about, you know? And like you guys said, attraction rather promotion, I want to beat her with the NA book. Like, you see me doing this thing, what do you mean nobody understands? You can't put the pipe down because you're not willing to come into the rooms, listen, do something different, and you want to cry wolf. I have a hard time feeling sorry for her and showing empathy and being accepting of who she is, because I know she can do this. I'm living proof. You know, a lot of us, it's that willing piece, man. And I have to practice faith and turn it over to God and just pray for her and pray that I don't get that phone call that she's dead. She's in a really bad place right now. I have to put a little bit of boundaries between us. I had like 13 missed phone calls yesterday. I'm your sister. Answer me. I need you. Because that's all she calls me for. Can you, will you, do you? And she has children. And I make sure that I show up for them. And my mom, like I said, raised 4 children. And now she's raising my niece. And my niece is 13 years old. And my poor mother's in her 60s. And God damn, she's just that teenager, man. And I feel so bad for my mom. But like I said, just showing up for family and talking to my mom and like practicing like, mom, you know, stop answering her. She's got to hit a bottom, you know, she's just not willing, unfortunately, and there's nothing we can do for her. And with me, just keep doing these things and practicing those healthy boundaries and breaking the chains and just showing up and being loving, practicing being loving and like not yelling and telling her what to do, you know, attraction rather than promotion. Candace, I'm right here. I'll go to meetings with you. But how willing are you? You know, I can't pick you up, take you home, get you food, and then you just not show up again. Or you sit in meetings next to me and you talk the whole time and you're all over the place. And I'm like, God damn, shut up, you know. People see me sitting next to like, shut up. Anyway, but loving. I do love my sister, but it's hard. Family is hard because I can love a sick addict coming in here, and I am willing to help. But when it's your sister, it's just something about them, you know, that I struggle with. But I pray, I practice faith, and I just pray to God that she makes it in these rooms. When I used, you know, my mom watched me go through this thing, and when I got clean, and now that I have children and my husband and I, and when I first got clean, she hated Victor. She hated Victor. And it wasn't, she wanted to blame somebody is what it was, but the reality is I chose to use, and I chose to do what I did, and I chose to put my arm out, and I chose to go down the path that I did, and it wasn't his fault, you know, years late, and she said to me, I swear, if you ever talk to him again, I'll be devastated. Devastated. So when we got back together, when he showed up in my life, at my home group, when I had 3 years clean, she saw him liking my stuff on Facebook or something. She said, What is Victor doing? I see him liking your stuff. God damn it, I told you. Because she wanted to control, right? And now being a mother, like, I see how she was feeling. And, you know, of course, like, we ran together. We used together. We went hard together, you know? So, like, for him to come back into my life, it was scary for her. But, you know, fast forward now, and Victor had a baby on the way by another woman. I swore I would never get back with him. He was filth to me. And I heard he got locked up. I heard he got locked up, and I thought, good, he's not dead. That's how, because I know. He said he had basketball hands. God, his hands were blown up like boxing mittens. But now us having children and a fast forward, you know, it truly is a miracle. And like that, like we have all the wonderful outside things. We got married in Anna Marie Island in Florida. We have, and Callie calls me mom. And like we have this amazing, beautiful family. And it's all because of Narcotics Anonymous. And my kids know when DT comes, my little 3-year-old said, Mommy, are you going to a meeting? And I said, yes, Cameron, we're going to a meeting. Because why? We get better when we go to meetings. And that's all they know. They know that mommy and daddy go to meetings to become better people and that we keep doing this thing, you know. And And it's the internal work, like, you know, the 12 steps and, like, just to keep doing this thing and like I said, and to break those chains and to keep giving our children this wonderful life, but to never turn our backs to Narcotics Anonymous. You know, it's so important for us to keep doing this and to break, like I keep saying, break those chains, man, because I blamed my father dying from this disease, too, of why I was an addict. It's inevitable. Like you said, it's in our family, you know? So and so I had to let that go and know that I made the choice to use. And so having children now, it's like, you know, when you see them do things, you're like, uh-oh, I see addict behaviors. You know, you get all nervous. But you know what? I'm just going to show my children there's bad choices and there's good choices. And that, like, you know, you can go down this path and mommy and daddy cannot save you, but you can make good choices and you can beat the disease of addiction. And, you know, and just to keep on living, if you want a beautiful life, or like Victor said, there used to be long life dope fiends. It's not like that anymore. People are dying. When I saw the screen when I came in, oh, I lived with that person. Oh, there's that girl. She helped me so much when I first came around. You know, there's just people are dying. The fentanyl is killing. Like, it just, you know, it's this disease is very powerful. And I believe that if you come in here and you are willing to change something and to do something different, then your life can be beyond your wildest dreams. And we're all living proof. I have people that, like my predecessors, my sponsor, people that I watch, they're living proof. They gave me the hope that I could do something different, you know, and that I could live an amazing life. And I remember being in rehab, just being like, I don't know how I can stop using. Like, the disease is talking to me, I want to use, but yet I want a different life. I want that family. I wanted children. I wanted a family. I wanted a home. I wanted all these things, but the disease was holding me back. I had nothing. I was stealing change out of my parents' change jar out of their room. And my mom's a clean freak. She had clean carpets. So I would go in there and change and steal quarters because that's how desperate I was to get one more in me. And I would take my hand and act like carpet marks on the vacuum so she wouldn't see my shoes going in her room. Like that, the disease is just so strong, you know? And like, again, I'm grateful. My clean date's February 11th. 2012, I just celebrated 11 years, and I'm fired up for recovery. I want to keep doing these things. Conventions get me fired up. World and Philly, I'll never forget. I had a couple months clean going to Philly. That was amazing. We went to Tampa, and this is what we do. This is our date. Victor and I going to conventions or going to meetings. That's our away time together to where him and I... You know, we get together and we're away from our children. Like, it's just like our bonding time, you know? It's really cool that him and I have a horrible past together, but now it's like years in recovery together. We keep on growing. His program, mine's mine. Don't think we don't throw little, like, low blows at each other sometimes. But you know what I mean? When we're getting on each other's nerves or a little bickering or, like, you know, and it's just... I don't know. It's crazy, but it's wonderful, and family and recovery. Thanks for letting me share.